Welcome to the Movement Church Podcast. Our vision is to be a movement of people finding their way back to God. For more information about Movement Church, including attending a worship experience, getting connected, or to give online, please visit movementcolumbus.com.
Good morning. Like Don said, my name is Sarah Knepper, and I'm part of the teaching team here at Movement. And if you've been around this month, you know that we've been in this series called Endgame, that's all about the book of 2 Timothy. And today we're going to wrap that series up by talking about what it means to finish. So if you've been around, you know that I am a high school teacher. I work at Worthington Christian High School and I teach 10th grade, which is sometimes awesome and sometimes awful. We had a whole week off for Thanksgiving, which I think I enjoyed probably more than my students did last Friday when we were kind of wrapping everything up. And they were asking if we could just take a nap all day on Friday because one week off is not enough. We need one more day. I said, look, you don't have any work to do for me over the break. I don't want you to think about me because I'm not going to be thinking about you. And they acted so offended. And I was like, look, I know you're not thinking about your teachers over break. So they said, you're not going to be thankful for us on Thanksgiving? And I said, I'm going to be thankful that I'm not with you on Thanksgiving. And they like weren't entertained by that, so whatever. But anyways, as I think about finishing well, I think a lot about what it looks like in the context of school and my students. So I teach 10th grade, but I have also, during my time at the school, been involved working with seniors. And I can tell you that seniors have the hardest time finishing well. If you can remember senior year, or if you're in college right now in your senior year, you know what this feels like, and you all claim that you have this disease called senioritis, which is not a real thing. But some of our seniors, they contract senioritis like on the first day of school their senior year. Some of my sophomores, I think, have senioritis already. And so what this means is like, I just, you know, I'm already into college, like I get accepted to main campus, so like what's it really matter? What's happening with the rest of my grade? And no matter how much you try to tell them, like, if you get F's in everything your senior year, they're probably going to retract that from you. They can't hear it, okay? So at our school, probably like many schools, we do exams at the end of each semester. And I can tell you that there are quite a few seniors who, by the time we get to the end of their senior year, they have calculated, what will my grade be if I just don't show up for this exam? Like, if I just take the L, I get a zero, and you just calculate it in as a zero. And we have kids that just say like, nah, it's not worth it. I'm not gonna study. Let's be honest, I don't remember anything that you taught me in this class anyways. So let's just, it's one less exam for you to grade, so I'm just not gonna come. And they do that because they figure, you know, I'm finished already. And we have had a conversation on multiple occasions. I have been part of these conversations with students talking about like, okay, look, I understand that like whether you get a zero or an 80 or a 30 on this exam, it doesn't really matter because you're already in the main campus. Congratulations. What does matter here is that this says something about your character. Like, are we going to be people who know how to finish something that we've started? Like, can we be people who finish well? And as I'm sure you're surprised to hear, this is usually met with like the rolling of the eyes, an exasperating sigh, and saying like, just, well, I'm not going to take it anyways. And yet, as I look at my students and as I think about like what is reflected in my own life that I see in them, it's so easy for me to say like, yeah, you know, I want to be so critical of them and the way that they can't finish well, these kids today, these millennials or whatever they are that I teach. They don't know how to finish things. They live in a world of instant gratification. They don't know how to finish anything. And yet the truth is the same is often true in my life. But there are all of these circumstances where I start something, and when I start it, I want it to be so awesome, and then it takes way longer than I think it's going to, or it's much more difficult than I expected it to be, and by the time we get to the end, I'm like, whatever, it doesn't matter, as long as whatever. I don't even care if it's not done, I'm just done with it, and I'm moving on to something new. And in our faith, we often approach our relationship with the Lord and the things that he has called us to in the same way. If you can remember back to when you first started walking with Jesus, Or for those of you who decided to follow Jesus as little kids, maybe it's harder to remember that transition, but if you can remember a time in your life when all of a sudden it became like very real to you, like you got so serious about it. Maybe it was in high school, or maybe it was in college, or maybe it was once you got married and you started a family and you said, I know that I've known this stuff for a long time, but now it matters. And when you first were in that space, everything was exciting. Like you wanted it so badly. You had this like zeal and this passion about you. And if that was a while ago for you, maybe now as you look at your life, you go like, yeah, I don't know. I don't feel the same way. Like I used to be so excited about all of these things, but now, you know, like you realize like, oh, that's like, it's just how you feel at the beginning. It's so cute when new believers act that way. They're trying to tell all their friends about Jesus. How adorable, so naive. But now, you know, I've learned a little bit more and I've been in this for a while and I know like you just can't run at that pace all the time. Your faith is a marathon, not a sprint, so we can't get too excited about things. Gotta relax. And we take this attitude towards our faith like, well, I was excited then, but maybe not so much now. And what we're going to look at this morning in 2 Timothy is the way that Paul speaks to that. Paul, the author of 2 Timothy, writing this letter to Timothy, this guy that he has spent all kinds of time with and this guy that he has invested in. He says, Timothy, I have something to say to you. I'm wrapping up this letter, and honestly, this is probably the last thing that you're going to hear from me because my time on earth is short. And if there's one last thing I can say to you, this is what I want to say. What does it look like to finish well? And for some of us, right, we're like, I'm 17. I'm not thinking about finishing anything well. I'm just like trying to survive junior year of high school. We have to have this constantly in front of us. So whether you're in high school or in college or way at the end of what you feel like is your race or your life, no matter where you are, this concept of finishing well has to be in front of us. Whether the finish line is tomorrow or 50 years from now, the concept of finishing well has to be in front of us so that we don't lose sight of what we're doing. So we're going to read some verses together, and we've got kind of two big categories that we're going to look at. What does it mean to finish well, and then what's the result of finishing well? So if you have a Bible, the one underneath you, you can go to page 915. If you're using your own Bible or your phone that turns into a Bible, we're in 2 Timothy chapter 4. 2 Timothy chapter 4, page 915 in the Bible around you. And we're going to start by reading the first five verses of chapter 4. I solemnly urge you in the presence of God and Christ Jesus, who will someday judge the living and the dead when he appears to set up his kingdom, preach the word of God. Be prepared, whether the time is favorable or not. Patiently correct, rebuke, and encourage your people with good teaching. For a time is coming when people will no longer listen to sound and wholesome teaching. They will follow their own desires and will look for teachers who will tell them whatever their itching ears want to hear. They will reject the truth and chase after myths. But you should keep a clear mind in every situation. Don't be afraid of suffering for the Lord. Work at telling others the good news and fully carry out the ministry that God has given you. So what does it mean to finish well? What does that look like? Well, the first thing that we have to pay attention to here is that Paul says we have to be willing to do this, to speak the truth. That's the first key here. You have to be willing to speak the truth, whether the time is favorable or not. And if I were to ask you, like if I were to bring one of you up here on stage with me, which I won't do, some of you are already starting to sweat, I won't do it. But if I were to bring you up here on stage with me and say like, should we listen to what God has to say all the time, regardless of circumstances? My guess is that basically all of us would say, yeah. Yeah, it doesn't matter. Like, it's not, God's truth is not like I can decide when I want to follow it and when I don't. God's truth is God's truth. And so I always listen to it, I always follow it, and I always like present it to other people. But I want you to think about what your life actually looks like. And this is not just you, this is me. Ugh, this one gets me, right? Like, when things are easy, and when I'm surrounded by people who agree with God's truth, and when it's popular to announce things that are connected to God's truth, well, yeah, sure, I'm gonna talk about it. But as soon as things get difficult, and as soon as now this is attached to some sort of stigma, and I don't know if I want people to know that I'm a Christian, because if you watch the news and you see some of the Christians that are on there, I don't want people to think I'm one of those people, because those people are nuts. And so now all of a sudden I begin to filter the things that I say, and I begin to filter the things that I stand for. And I'm not really sure that I want everybody that I know that I'm part of this team, because this team brings some negative connotations with it. So I'm gonna be careful about who I let know, yeah, this is the truth that I stand for. What does it mean to finish well? It means whether the time is favorable or not, we speak the truth. And what does it mean for the time not to be favorable? Well, Paul goes on to say, look, a time is coming when people will only want to listen to things that their itching ears want to hear. You can think of this as an echo chamber. I only surround myself with people who say the things that I want to hear them say. Now, you know, maybe you could say, we're there. Look at the kind of things that are on your Facebook feed or on your Twitter feed. Instagram doesn't count because everybody just posts like pictures of their turkey dinners and their sunsets. So like, that's nice. It doesn't matter who you follow. Everything's nice on there. But the feeds that you follow, or the news channels that you watch, or the people that you surround yourself with, how often do we simply surround ourselves with people who say the things that we already believe? Because look, I don't want to listen to that news station because that person is a wacko and they are way too far on the other side, and clearly they're completely biased and probably someone is paying them off to say those things, and those idiots, I would never believe anything that they have to say, so I'm going to listen to this news channel over here. Conveniently enough, a news channel that already supports all of the things that you already believe. We live in a world where it is so easy to simply surround ourselves with people who echo the ideas that are already rattling around in our brains. And we should not be surprised. Paul said, the time is coming when that is what people will do. People don't want to know the truth. People just want someone to pat them on the back and say, hey, what you believe is fine. I believe it too. And Paul is saying, Timothy, when you get to that point, when people don't want to hear the truth, they only want to hear you affirm the things that they already believe, you must stand up and speak the truth. You must, I want you to go back to verse 5 because I want you to see exactly what he says. You must keep a clear mind in every situation. Don't be afraid of suffering for the Lord. Work at telling others the good news and fully carry out the ministry that God has given you. Okay, so at this point, maybe an idea is starting to rattle around in your head, like often does for me when I get to this passage. When I read this and I read the words that Paul is giving Timothy, I imagine Timothy kind of like standing on a hill all by himself. And he's got all of these like very worldly and ungodly people surrounding him, and they're all kind of like in their different camps talking about their different ideas. And Timothy, it sounds to me, is like the only one who is still doing what is right. And so he's standing on this hill all by himself, and he's trying to like stay focused on who God is and what God has called him to do, and he's trying to pronounce the truth no matter how people react to it. Like, I imagine Timothy is like this lone ranger. And I think that that's so wrong. I have been so convicted of this over the last few weeks. God has called you to finish well, but that does not mean that you finish alone. God has called you to finish well, but he has called you to finish well in the community of believers that he has surrounded you with. I have told you before that I have gotten into running. I'm really hesitant to call myself a runner because I'm slow. But I have gotten into running. I think I told you guys the story that I was feeling really good about my PR, and then I saw that a 70-year-old woman ran my PR, and I thought, like, huh, I feel terrible about myself. So anyways, so I don't call myself a runner, but I do really like distance running, and I've run several marathons. And here's what I have come to learn about distance running, particularly when you're someone like me, slow. I get to like the last 6 miles, okay? Now, some of you are like, 6 miles? Who would ever want to run 6 miles? A marathon is 26 miles, okay? 26.2, actually. The 0.2 is like evil. I don't know who put it on there, but it's the worst. I can get to like mile 20 and I can feel okay. Now, not great. I still kind of want to like throw up everywhere, but I can feel okay. And I've got my like people around me. This last race that I did, I ran with this like pace group, and this one woman in the pace group was crazy, and I wanted to punch her and hug her all at the same time. Like, we would be running and she'd be like, everyone do 25 high knees right now. I'm like, what are you saying? I'm just like trying to stay upright. But I feel okay until mile 20. And then I get to mile 20 and I'm like a disaster, okay? I can't take my eyes up off of the ground. I'm just thinking like, I just wanna sit down right now. I don't care if I don't finish this race. I don't care if I never get to the end. I don't care if I never see anyone that I know ever again. I just wanna be done right here. I get completely irrational, okay? I was like wearing a fuel belt this last time that I had borrowed from someone else, and I was so close to taking it off and just throwing it on the side of the road, like whatever, I'll just buy a new one for the person that I borrowed it from. I turn into a crazy person, okay? And here's what I've learned about myself. In that moment, I cannot do the race alone. I can't. And so I pull out my phone, because who runs without their phone anymore? I pull out my phone, and I start texting the people that I know who are part of my running community. That sounds like such a loser thing to say, but I have one, okay? And all I texted them was, I am in trouble. And so now, all of a sudden, I'm getting all of these messages back to me. No, you're not in trouble. No, you're not in trouble at all. You're fine. You are ready for this. And so I'm reading these messages and they're simultaneously encouraging and making me so mad, right? Because I just want to be like, you're not out here running 26 miles today, you know? Like, where are you not helping me? But I have learned that to finish well means to surround myself with the people who know the truth when I can't see it myself. To finish well means that I'm not doing this alone. Because you are going to get to a point where you cannot see the finish line. Even though you know that it's out there. And in your brain, you think like, I should be able to figure this out. I'm a logical human being. I should be able to do this. I've done it before. I know I can make it. But your gut is telling you, no, you can't. It's not even worth the effort. Just sit down. Give up. Give in. Throw this borrowed fuel belt away. It doesn't even matter. Who cares if somebody's mad at you at the end of the race? Give up. Finishing well means that we do not fight or flee, but we lean in. Some of us, when we see that the world is antagonistic to the truth of Jesus Christ, it makes us want to stand up and just start like, okay, I'm ready. Let's do this. You want to go to blows? I'm ready. Because I studied. I took an apologetics class. I've gone through biblical beliefs on Wednesday nights with Mark, and I am ready to fight you. And we are just ready to throw the next punch because I know the truth, and you're wrong, and I'm going to correct you. That is not what Paul is calling Timothy to. And some of us get to this point where like, oh, okay, this is kind of dangerous and I don't know and I'm uncomfortable and I don't want to be one of those wackos and so just forget it. I'm going to shut up and get away from the trouble. We aren't called to fight or to flee, but to lean in. To lean into the trouble around us. To lean into the difficulty around us. To lean into the people around us who are saying, I don't believe the truth. Paul says, Timothy, don't run away and don't fight them, but lean into it. Create a space where you are presenting the truth to them and they look at you and they say, that's kind of beautiful. It brings me to this passage in Romans chapter 12, and I read it to a few of you this morning. I'm going to go there. You don't have to turn there if you don't want to. It's page 866. Romans chapter 12, Paul also wrote this letter, and here's what he's saying to a whole group of believers. He has just talked to them about their gifting, the gift that God has given them and what God has called them to do, okay? So very much in parallel to what he's saying to Timothy. And after he talks about using their gift, here's what he says. Don't just pretend to love others. Really love them. Hate what is wrong. Hold tightly to what is good. Love each other with genuine affection and take delight in honoring each other. Never be lazy, but work hard and serve the Lord enthusiastically. Rejoice in our confident hope. Be patient in trouble and keep on praying. When God's people are in need, be ready to help them. Always be eager to practice hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Don't curse them. Pray that God will bless them. Be happy with those who are happy. Weep with those who weep. Live in harmony with each other. Don't be too proud to enjoy the company of ordinary people. And don't think you know it all. That last sentence. Don't think that you know it all. What does it mean to finish well? Notice that back in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 5, Paul is talking to Timothy and he says, you are going to suffer. What does it mean to finish well? It means that we announce the truth and we expect to suffer in the midst of that. And sometimes that means that we're receiving persecution because people hear us speaking the truth and they're attacking us for it. But sometimes we're suffering because what it means to speak the truth and live the truth is that we see someone else who is suffering and we decide to enter into it with them. Finishing well is not on your own. Finishing well is a communal activity. And so it means that we live the truth and speak the truth, and that means that we find the people who are suffering and we enter into their suffering with them. Most of us live pretty isolated lives because we live in a first world country. And so we can ignore the things that are happening to men and women and children all around the world. We can ignore the fact that there are children being sold into sex slavery today. That is happening. Children. I met a 2-year-old girl in India. Her dad was trying to sell her for $10 because he needed alcohol. $10. But you know what I'm going to do when I go home? I'm going to go home and I'm going to read a book and I'll probably watch a little football. Is that still on? I don't know. I just heard it on in the background. And I'm going to eat some leftovers. And I'm going to feel sad about the fact that I have to go back to work tomorrow. Because I live in a first world country and I can isolate myself from the suffering around me. Because I don't have to finish well. Because I can just kind of plod along and make it to the next day. What does it mean to finish well? It means we know the truth and we embrace the truth and we live the truth. And part of living the truth means you enter into other people's suffering. Paul is going to go on in these next few verses, we're going to read them here in a second, to talk about the result of finishing well is receiving this reward, this crown of righteousness. And throughout Jesus' teaching, that reward we see him talking about is always connected to suffering. The reward comes after we have worked our way through this life and we have suffered well for the kingdom of God. Do not be deceived into thinking that that suffering is only a result of you and what you have to go through. We are a community of people. Don't isolate yourself. Now, it doesn't mean you have to walk around crying all the time, okay? Maybe you will. I don't know. I've been crying all the time for like the last 2.5 weeks, okay? It's been a rough month. It doesn't mean you have to walk around crying all the time, but it does mean that we pay attention to what's going on around us. We need to stop being spoiled first world people. In the kingdom of God, we don't fight or flee, we lean in. You want to finish well? Lean in. And it is going to hurt. And there are times that it is going to be confusing. And there are going to be lots of times where you don't know what the next right step is supposed to be. How am I supposed to help all of these kids that are in trouble all around the world? I don't have the answers to that. But I know that it's what I'm called to. I know that I'm called to love. I know that I'm called to pray. I know that I'm called to seek the good of the least of these. I know that that's what I'm called to. What does it mean to lean in? It means that we believe the truth, speak the truth, and we suffer well alongside those people who are suffering. Now let's look at this crown of righteousness that Paul talks about right at the end of this passage. We're back in 2 Timothy, page 915, chapter 4, starting in verse 6. As for me, my life has already been poured out as an offering to God. The time of my death is near. I have fought the good fight, I have finished the race, and I have remained faithful. And now the prize awaits me, the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give me on the day of his return. And the prize is not just for me, but for all who eagerly look forward to his appearing. Paul uses these analogies of fighting the good fight and finishing the race. And this isn't the only place we see him talk this way. He talks this way in 1 Corinthians. He talks this way also in 1 Timothy. The idea that you don't just enter a race or enter a competition to just like, I don't know, I'm just going to go out and kind of see what happens. No, I'll tell you, I've run enough races to know that there are people who show up and do that, and it goes very badly for them. You enter a race because you have a goal. And most of the time, that goal is to win. Paul says, I'm coming to the end of my life, and I can say to you with confidence that I have fought the fight put in front of me. I have finished the race laid out ahead of me. And there are times when I read those words and I think, I am never going to be in that spot. Like, I'm a mess. I'm not fighting the good fight. I'm like, barely managing not to get into a fight with one of my 16-year-olds at school. I'm not finishing well. And yet, these verses are recorded for us, for me, for you, to be this reminder, to remind you of what this is all about. Why are we doing any of this? Walking with Jesus is not easy. And if you've been in it for a while, you know, walking with Jesus is not easy. That there are moments where you take a step back and you look at your life and you look at the difficulties in front of you and you look at the hard conversations that you're having to have and you feel the weight of difficulty that is on your heart and in your life and you think, I don't know if I can do it. Like, I don't know if I can go another step. I don't know if I can keep trying. This is so hard. I feel you. I'm in that space. Like currently, that space of like, I don't know if I can take one more difficult day. I don't know if I could go through another day where it feels like this, you know? Like you're in the middle of a conversation and everything's fine. You're just talking about turkey and then all of a sudden you're crying and everyone's like, what's happening with her? I don't know if I can do it. And I need to be reminded from someone who has gone through it, okay? Paul knows what it is to suffer. Paul suffered for Jesus, not just in his own life, but with the people around him. He suffered. And he got to the end and he said, it was worth it. I am glad that I did it. I'm glad that I took every step as hard as it was. I'm glad that I was in this suffering and that I finished the race. He is saying what one of my running friends will say to me when we're running and I'm like, I can't do it, and all I can do is look at my feet. He's saying, pick up your head. Pick up your head. Lift up your eyes. Look at the goal in front of you. See it. Remember what you're doing this for. It's to finish the race. It's to stand before your God that we just sang about. And to have him look at you and say, you are my child and I love you and I know that this has been hard, but I am so proud of you. I am so proud of the race that you ran. And I know that you stumbled and I know that you fell, but you finished. And you finished with your head up. Parts of it were ugly. That's what it is to run a marathon. I can tell you, parts of it are ugly. There's a whole group of people that saw me vomit everywhere last year. Like everywhere. Like gallons of Gatorade. Disgusting, okay? Running a race is not pretty. But we run to finish. Don't lose sight of the finish line. Your God does not love you because you are finishing well. But we finish well because he loves us. Because he said, I love you. I made you. I created you for a specific purpose. And I have placed you in this world that you are in and in the specific context that you are in to run the race ahead of you. To enter into the suffering of the people around you. To speak the truth even when it's difficult. I called you to it. Because I wanted to. That's what he's saying to you. I love you so much, and I have called you to this. And now my response is to say, okay, it feels really hard. It feels so overwhelming. I don't know if I can do it for one more day, but if my God says that I can, then I'm gonna try. If my God believes that I can do this, then I am going to try. I am not going to fight, and I'm not going to run away, but I'm going to lean in to the trouble around me, and I am going to take one more step to finish this race. Because at the end of it all, I want to be able to say, I crossed the line. And I want my God to be able to look at me and say, you finished. Parts of it were really not pretty, Sarah, but you finished. Well done. We are called to finish well. Men and women, we are called to finish well. So this morning, my question to you is, what spaces in your life have you just kind of hit cruise control and you're coasting? You're not really in the race anymore. You're just like letting it kind of rush past you. What spaces do you need to re-engage? Not to fight, not to let everybody know that you're right and they're all wrong, but what spaces do you need to re-engage with that sort of love and compassion and kindness that we saw in the book of Romans? Maybe it's a relationship. Maybe it's something that's happening at work or at school. Maybe it's your own personal time with the Lord. You've just kind of checked out. Because I come to this church and I hear some things there and I'm fine. In what place do you need to re-engage so that you can finish well? Don't lose sight of the finish line. He is waiting. He is waiting for you. And you want to be able to face him someday and say, I did it. I finished. I finished well. I didn't give up halfway through. I didn't walk off the course. I didn't cash in. I finished. Let me pray for you as we consider what that means in our lives. Father, I thank you that you don't expect me to be able to do this perfectly. I thank you that you know my own weaknesses, that you know the challenges that I face on a daily basis. You know the pains that I face. You know the suffering that I'm standing in the middle of. I thank you that you haven't called me to do any of that by myself. I thank you that you have called us to be a community of people who suffers together. That you've called us to be a community of people who points each other to the truth. And more than anything, Father, I thank you that you gave us Jesus, who leaned in first, who suffered for us first, who felt our pain, who lived a human life, and who went all the way to death on a cross in my place, that he felt the suffering that I should be experiencing. Father, I pray for each one of us in here. You know us, you know our hearts, you know our challenges, you know the things that we're struggling with. You know the race that you have carved out for us, and you know the ways that we have kind of stepped off the course or switched on cruise control and just kind of cashed in. You know what that looks like in each of our lives. Father, I ask that your spirit would move in this place this morning and that you would challenge us, that you would prick our hearts, that you would wake us up, that you would remind us of what we're in the middle of, that you would help us to see the finish line and to remember that I don't run to earn your favor, but I run because I have your favor already. It's an act of gratitude, an act of response to you. Father, will you remind me who those people are that are around me? Will you remind each of us of who those people are around us that are helping us to run the race? Will you please, God, make Movement Church a group of people who are consumed with finishing well, not people who have simply started and given up, not people who are only concerned about instant gratification or one-hit wonders, but people who are finishing well together. And as you do that, Father, we're going to give you all of the glory and all of the praise. In Jesus' name, amen.